If possible, everyone should submit at least one question. Our subject for the present conference is a strange one. Spiritual reading, who needs it? I'm using a manuscript that I published some time ago on this subject. I'm afraid that most Catholics do not understand what spiritual reading means, or they think monks and nuns use it. But I can tell you, sanctity is impossible without spiritual reading. To do some justice to this vast subject, I will pose a series of questions. I'll do my best in answering each one. First, why is reading, any reading, important? Then, why is reading influential on the person who does the reading, on those whom the reader influences? And what is spiritual reading? Next, why is spiritual reading necessary? Not merely useful, necessary. And a few closing words on implications. This will be an extra long conference. Take much of the hour. Why is reading, any reading, important? To begin to get some idea of the importance of reading by how many people throughout the world are doing it. There are thousands of newspapers throughout the world, some with circulations of more than a million, thousands of periodicals, some with monthly circulations of many millions. Tens of thousands of books are published annually. Some by now with a publicated history nothing less than astronomical. Reading must be important. See the influence that the printed word has on the human mind. A good date for beginning a modern world is the dawn of the age of print. I've told this to students over the years. Except for printed books, there will be no positivism in the world. Man's history will never be the same. But the real proof of the importance and value of the printed word is the seldom realized fact that when God began what we call his public revelation, first to the Jews, then to the people of the new Israel, God made sure that the substance of his revelation was not only communicated orally, was written down under divine inspiration. The Bible had been over the centuries the single most influential source of knowledge and inspiration of the human race. we can remind ourselves the Bible was first written in an age when few people could calculate less than 5%, closer to 2% of the world could read. And of course, could read and write. The fact the Bible began to be written centuries before the coming of Christ testifies to the divine testimonial of how powerful, how influential reading is. Christ, first of all, used the Old Testament writings. We speak of when any writing can be read at beginning around the year 2000 B.C. In the coming of Christ, most human race could not read or write. May surprise you. I don't know the exact figures, but I estimate that much, now the majority of the human race to this day cannot read or write. God evidently wanted to influence the human race deeply by inspiring the secret of communicating what we think by the written word. You may safely say that God invented writing to make the reading first of the Bible, the great masters of Christianity over the centuries. There couldn't be a St. Augustine, a St. Jerome, shall I say it, a St. Ignatius, except for the art of writing. But writing is useless unless there are people who know what to read. There are two foci to this conference. First, to appreciate the indispensable importance of reading, good, sound, carefully reading, to sustain and deepen our faith. But secondly, we need to cultivate the art of writing ourselves. I'm talking about reading, but I'm also speaking about the importance of writing. This will be, the written word will be the most influential in the history of the world until the end of time. Our next question. Why is reading so influential? Notice, I'm not merely saying that reading is important. It is. Or even that is mainly influential. It also certainly is. Reading is indispensable. Indispensable for growing in knowledge, and doubly indispensable for growing in knowledge of God and His will. I can say this safely. I'm asking, why is reading influential? More than any other means of social communication, in my judgment, the judgment of the great leaders of the world, the world has been mainly led by men and women who wrote, than by those who read what was written. I believe this calls for some explanation in view of the marvelous discoveries we call electronics media, telephone, telegraph, radio and television, the film, radar, and their derivatives. But I know what I'm saying. There is no communication can begin to compare with the influence of reading. I don't want to make a competitive comparison between reading and other means of communicating ideas. My intention is a more practical one of emphasizing to the last degree how important, dare I say indispensable, is a printed word for us to read if you want to grow in the life of God. Over the years, in teaching sacred scripture, I've told my students that writing and the printed word began when God first revealed to the human race. God made sure that His revealed word was in written form. Reading is so influential. I ask you now why. Why is it so powerful in shaping the minds of the whole world? It is so influential because the ideas expressed in a piece of good writing are concentrated. They're not diffused. I've done my share of speaking. I've done my share of listening to people talk. In 5 minutes, I begin to hear a speaker. 5 minutes, I found out whether the speaker should be listened to. We hear many things we should not listen to. When we listen, we want to hear. Oh, how important this is. Those who write their thoughts deserve to be read, always implying that the writing is worth reading. A person who's not learned how to write, I will say it, does not really know how to communicate his ideas to others. Again, what is written and then published by the law of economics and the other reasons too, but certainly by the law of economics, It is, if for another reason, done professionally. My person who know what they are saying and say it intelligently and try to say it persuasively, even when they are not writing the truth. He also will say this: I sincerely believe that most of the printed writing in the world today does not deserve to be read. Geniuses of the untruth write extensively because they know how powerful and influential on the minds of the people for whom they write. And the reason, of course, is because what is written has been thought through. What is written is meant to persuade those who read. I repeat, even and especially when they write what is not the truth, I must repeat this. Most of the writing in the world today is not the truth. I could spend hours, I have over the years, spend weeks telling my students most of the writing in the world today, I repeat, is not the truth. The written word being in competition with other written words is done carefully by and large in such a way that a maximum of thought goes into a minimum of content. The influence of the written word. Before I begin a conference like this, I ask our Lord, influence the minds of those to whom I am speaking. I have begged the Lord, and I ask Him now, influence all of you to write in God's name. Write. That's the verb. Write. And the mood is imperative. Write. Moreover, what is being read is normally done in solitude. The mind of the writer, in fact, the mind of the reader, in a quiet, reflective, and by definition, sympathetic mood, and somebody is speaking, you may be listening, but not necessarily. When somebody is reading something, you don't read unless you want to. The will is behind the action of reading. And the most powerful influence for shaping our minds is the will. If I don't like what I'm reading, what do you do? Put the book down. Or some people do. I've seen too many people. Book in their hand. sleeping. I am speaking of what I know from years of experience is why, only because of God's grace, had enabled this sinner to publish over 40 books and millions of words and articles. Whereas when I am speaking, I know exactly when some of the audience does not want to listen. They have a strong will, they can keep awake. It's hard to stay awake when you're not listening. If people are kind, you are speaking, they go to sleep. I've talked to too many people over the years. Some manifest their being bored or displeased in various dramatic ways. But not so with readers. The one who reads wants to be told what the written word is telling him. That is why, for all times, Holy Spirit made sure that the famous words of Pilate are preserved in sacred scripture. Remember, after Christ was crucified, and over the cross, up into the letters, what letters they were. Who knows by heart? Who knows the initials?
I?
Okay. Which means I stands for Jesus in the beginning of Christianity. Jesus Nazarenos. And the last two letters stand for the King of the King of whom?
The Jews.
Of the Jews. Of the Nazarenes. Remember, the Jews complained to Pilate to leave that on the cross. That's when Pilate answered them. Remember? What I have written, I have written. What has been written can be read years, centuries after it was first composed by the author. What is written, as every author hopes, is written not only for his own generation, but for generations yet unborn. I sincerely hope I'll do two things during this conference. First of all, to inspire you to read good, sound Catholic reading more than you've ever done before. And secondly, to begin writing, oh me, yes you, I did not plan this. A thought occurred to me. They're in the month of what?
July.
I think August, September, October. By October, I would like to hear from as many of you as possible what you have written. Pardon me for telling you to do this. Send me a copy of what you have written. I promise to help you get what you've written published. I mean it. But I've encouraged so many people to write. What day did I say? October? August? September? We are 3 full months. Letters to the editor of a paper. Articles for magazines. I trust either all of you, many of you know, told by the Holy See to start a new Catholic magazine. To recommend to your reading. Who knows the name of the magazine? What is it?
Catholic Faith.
The Catholic Faith. Subscription over 10,000 people. Our hope is to publish every month. Right now it's every other month. I'm closing the first part of a long meditation. Write for publication. I mean that with all my heart. Finally, I'm recommending the value of writing and, of course, the value of reading good writing. Unlike other forms of a discourse, the written word can be gone over and over and over. It can be studied and scrutinized and, as a consequence, can have a profound impact on the human spirit that is beyond the calculation. May have said this in some retreat before. I studied theology for 4 years. After my ordination, sent to Europe to get another degree. My 4 years of undergraduate theology. I collected over 5,000 quotations from writers that I had read. Is therefore understandably indelible what is written. Somewhere years ago, I began studying Latin. There was a phrase written, of course, in Latin. I've forgotten many things that I've read. I've never forgotten this. Verba volant, scripta manent. The spoken words fly. What is written stays, it remains. Verba volant, scripta manent. The spoken words fly away. The written words remain. We go on. I'm less than half finished with this meditation. what is spiritual reading? He began by describing in terms of what is not. What writing is not. Man was easy. Spiritual reading is not secular reading. Oh, dear Lord, the millions of wasted hours wasted in reading what we should not read. I don't necessarily mean reading that is un-Catholic or worse still, anti-Catholic, which there is so much in the world today, but reading that is useless. More positively, spiritual reading is that reading whose purpose as writing is to assist the believer to better know, love, and serve God. To better know, love, and serve God, and thereby become more godlike, which means more holy in the person's life of prayer and practice of Christian virtue. I cannot begin to tell you how profoundly influential is good, solid, spiritual reading. Notice I am saying that spiritual reading is that reading whose purpose as writing is to assist the believer. Only God knows. But I am sure when we enter eternity, the judgment that God will make on us is what we've read, how much we have read. The reading we do should make us more faithful, more holy Catholics. Why put it that way? Sounds odd. The reason is there is a sense in which any kind of reading, most obviously secular, are the daily papers or a popular novel, may, and by now I have been told, is considered by many people spiritual reading, when their purpose in their minds is spiritual. By that standard, reading Time or Newsweek, or you know other magazines that are worse, provided, so it is claimed, person can say, my purpose is spiritual, the reading is spiritual. Not so. You cannot canonize the world. I am not here speaking of spiritual reading in that broad sense. Spiritual reading, in the sense in which we are here describing it, is writing done with a spiritual purpose. Not only one may happen to be read with perhaps a spiritual intention in mind. Quite frankly, all our reading, even the most secular, should be spiritualized. But that is not the same as spiritual reading. Concretely, the forms of this kind of spiritual reading can take are not as numerous as may seem. I reduce them to just five, only five, the Scriptures, Old and New Testament, otherwise known as the Bible, and make sure you know what books belong to the Catholic Bible. That Bibles know I've seen them in Catholic homes. They're not Catholic. At least seven books are missing, as I'm sure you know, from every parson's Bible. Not only that they be authentic and all the Catholic books of the Bible, but make absolutely sure that the translation is authentically Catholic. I will now spend hours not only identifying but describing authentically Catholic translations. I must say this. Most of the English translations of the Bible are not authentically Catholic. Period, or change it to an exclamation mark. Big, shining imprimatur at the beginning of the book. Well, the translation, I repeat, is not authentically Catholic. Concretely, the form of what I'm talking about, spiritual reading, which I'm recommending, are not as numerous as may seem. That's why I am removing, except for five classifications of readings, the Bible, and then make sure it's a good Catholic translation. Secondly, the teaching of the Church or sacred doctrine. Again, there are many books written about what the Church teaches. Be sure that this book on sacred doctrine is authentically Catholic. Third classification, the history of the Church in general. Any one of the myriad of aspects of the Church's passage through time. Over the years, I've read the 40 volumes of the history of the popes. Read them once, read them again. Another classification of books. Biographies of the lives and thoughts of saintly persons is written by themselves and those are the best.